You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we have opened thy word, Spirit of God, for you to get to us, for you to help us in honoring your word and in knowing and honoring our Lord and Father, all of it for your honor and glory. And we'll thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. And we share together when Christ gave God, Christ died on the cross and rose again, and that we might have a Savior, that we might be able to believe. Christ died so that we could go from a state of death to a state of life, to know him. And therefore, we read in the study of John, in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. And that was because the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, having said that, all the chapters, 21 chapters of the Gospel of John, they're all written to help us understand the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. God becoming flesh, God born in Bethlehem of Judea, God becoming like us, that we're able to enjoy a life like his, a relationship to God by way of his death, burial, and resurrection, to know him. And therefore, so as the Gospel of John, and believe, the word believe 99 times, believe. So when we come to chapter 20, the summation of what 21 chapters, what are you telling us, God? That he became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. That took 21 chapters to say it. And what's he saying it very clearly and simply? To know him. So we need to do what? After all of that, verse 20:30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now hang on to that. So, believing, what's that going to do? Make possible a unique relationship. Over to 1 John, the first epistle of John again, which you read. And in the first epistle of John, picking up, please, in verse 1, that which we have from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, that's 21 chapters plus, which we have seen and with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of God. So there's no question. We were there for 3 1/3 years and we enjoyed 24-hour day, 7 days a week. We were with him. Now he died and rose again so that we could believe and be saved. What's that mean? Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. We're able to have a unique witness, the Spirit of God bearing witness to all that Jesus Christ has made possible. Yes, his ministry. And in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard and declare, and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. Fellowship, union, communion, a sharing, a partnership, a participation, that we also may have fellowship, you may have fellowship with us, a participation with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So we're able to have a unique relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that unique relationship to God is going to show up as we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, you'll notice in the middle of verse 7, we have fellowship. That's the same as in verse 3. You have fellowship. How is our fellowship? Where is our fellowship found? It's as we walk daily in this body, in this life, as we walk in the light. As we walk in the light, and have, what are we doing? We're in the light of God's word. Christ is the light of the world, and the light of life is given by way of his word, so that as we walk in the light of his saving grace, in the light of his word, we're able to have fellowship. So, and our old nature is not to be in the way. Our old nature is to be understood that it is not interested in fellowship. But now that you've come to know the Lord as your Savior and you believe, you're to understand, you're to enjoy a unique relationship to God because you believe. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Therefore you need to grow. You need to grow. You need to know. You need to grow. And we share together. First, chapter 2, verse 12, 13, 14, we need to grow. We need to grow up. We need to be knowers, growing and knowing. That's what we need to do. And so we can't enjoy being born until we exercise being born. And therefore coming to the Lord as our Savior, we have a unique oneness relationship with everyone that has believed, including Paul and Peter and John. And we are finding a unique oneness with them. And so God and his living word make it all wonderfully, wonderfully possible so that we as living believers, but unbelievers, people that don't believe, don't have that relationship. They need to believe. And if you don't believe, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, resting down on who he is and what he's done, makes possible a unique, wonderful setting. In other words, again, you're allowing the pew to hold you. You're letting the pew be the pew. We're letting God be God. We're letting God be who he is. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, there's a whole lot against it. Your old nature is against it. The devil's against it. The Antichrist, the devil's against it. The Antichrist spirit is against it. So, therefore, the world system, verse 15, our old general old nature, verse 16, the desires of the flesh, and in verse 18, we have the satanic world system that leaves God totally out of the picture. So, an Antichrist spirit, and the Antichrist spirit is there, and so in the early church, and we went through different ways of seeing it, understanding it. When the church was fresh and alive, you really didn't go to it. You dared not join the assembled body out there in the square. because they were so different. And then individually acts, people saw and understood and were drawn, and they went into that group. But as that group went and grew, therefore people went and became into it. But the fire and life, remember, they didn't have a Bible like you do in their hands. They could have had the Old Testament, and depending on what stage you're in, Galatians and different things, you could have had that. But they just had the Spirit of God. And in the early church, God, having no Bible and just knowing idolatry, the Spirit of God went and made up the difference. And he became wonderfully real. And everything happened, and God was there managing his assembly. And they were gifted, they had all kinds of things going for them, and God just did it. And they were full of life. Now, having people full of life, when unsaved people came in, they just didn't have that life. And as long as the church was on fire, and then persecution added to that, Acts 8, and all of that, then people left. They were not saved, as we had chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For they had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they didn't have that. But they went out, and that purpose, that they might be made manifest, clear, plain, so you could see it, that they were not all of us. They never were of us. They were never saved. They couldn't enjoy like we should in Sunday school. You can't enjoy the things of God, the truth of God on AM. You have to have FM. You have to be God. You become spiritually alive. Your spirit, the light bulb, light bulb. The Spirit of God has made you to be able to have a unique relationship to him, not like an antelope or a mouse. You have a unique relationship because you have a body housing your soul housing your spirit, God gave you that. You were born dead, spiritually dead. When you received the Lord as your Savior, God was able to go when you believed and take your spirit and bring it into his wonderful person, and you have life, light, life. You have that. Now, and so having him, but that didn't happen to these others, and they left, and they weren't there. And then we have all the other end of it, where as you go down the corridor of time, the church becomes more and more worldly, and the world enters into the church enters into the world, and 380 AD, AD and all of that, Rome made the church illegal, the religion of Rome, etc. And it became part of the system. Now, having said that, though, back to the context and the movement in 1 John chapter 2. And so here are the believers, and the believers are there, and they begin, and the spirit of Antichrist, the world, all of it was there, and they had to be able to cope with it. So, in the midst of all the things that were being said, that Jesus was something other than who he was, that there was no resurrection of the dead, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and they had to go and cope. They didn't have; they couldn't turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And the Spirit of God had to help them. And so, in verse chapter 2 and in verse 20, but we have an unction. We have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So we share that together a little bit, and the reality of the relationship has to be developed. Chapter 2, verse 12, 13, 14. You have to grow, and it has to be developed. It's all there, but it has to be developed. When the little baby is born, the little baby is born. The little baby has life. It doesn't have more of a life a year later. It has life. It has physical life. It has a relationship to Earth. And it doesn't have more of it. What does it need to do? It needs to grow and be in the environment of Earth, like we are. And you learn, whether you're in the jungle or in the city, whatever you do, you learn the system. And you grow in it, you grow up in it. That's what you do. And you have to learn it. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you have a new environment, a new life, a new relationship, and you have to allow for growth and understanding. In FM, you got to understand it from God's point of view. Thus he's given his word to know it. And therefore, here are these believers, and they needed to have an assurance, a confirmation, an affirmation. They need to have what God's going to give them. He's going to tell them, as we shared in verse 20, you already have something. You are presently having it. You are having an unction to spread the word anointing. You have an anointing that God gives in his most wonderful way to enjoy spiritual life. And these are written that you might know. Written, that God's word is written so that we might know it and to enjoy it. Now, and having said God's word, so we're reading God's word, and you have an unction and anointing from the Holy One. God has done that wonderful thing, and you have an unction, and you know, perfect tense, you're already knowing. You're not going to be. You already know something. You already know it. You already know it, and we share together two directions it goes, nominative, accusative. You know something. You all know. Nominative. Same thing. You all know all things. Both. You know, and you know. Both are true. Now, as we looked at it, so God, here's the spiritual life we're to have in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And God gives that so that we have the Son and we know we have the written scriptures to know it. And over to chapter 5 for a moment, which you just look at it to refresh your mind. Chapter 5. And in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, there it is. No, you just know that you are, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You know you have physical life, and you don't need any proof of it, in the sense, you just know it. You just know you have eternal life. You know you have physical life, and because God saves us, and the Spirit of God tells us what he's done, he's given us a relationship to God called eternal life. And that relationship to God is as valid as your physical life. You have physical life, and you have to grow. You have spiritual life, and you have to grow. And you can't have it overnight. You just have to grow. And you hang in there, and you became adults. And therefore, you become spiritually. You want to go and grow spiritually and grow up in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And what are you going to grow up? You're going to go, these are written. These are written for you to know. Hold your finger in 1 John and go over to, if I can, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, what are we supposed to be knowing? In chapter 14, again in verse 20, repeating it because it's the centerpiece. Chapter 14 and verse 20, yet a little while, verse 19, verse 20, at that day you shall know you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. You're going to know that Christ, God, that's the whole point, God entered the flesh. That's the argument. That's the whole thing. God really, you can't, Jesus Christ can't be God. But he is. But he is. He entered the flesh. He became born in Bethlehem of Judea, etc., in order to be crucified. He entered the flesh. So the whole point, thus, God, what are you saying, God, in John 14, to the disciples in the upper room? I am in my Father. My Father is in me, and I am in you. That's what he said. Do you know that? Do you know that? I am in my Father. That's the big case in point. No one wants to believe. You can't believe that God really became a human to die on a cross in flesh and blood. Yeah, he did. You got to believe it. And in believing that, you have to understand you need to receive him as your Savior, and that God is truly in Christ. And Christ is truly in God. And you are truly in him. For real. I want you to know that. You already know it. How do I know it? I just read it. That's why I know it. That's why you know. So therefore, over to 1 John again. In 1 John, picking up, please. These are written that you might know. So, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, you have an unction, the word anointing. And that anointing is from the Holy One. Thus, and the word an unction, anointing, we did all of this to remind yourself that the priests were anointed, the kings were anointed, David and Saul, anointed, and the tabernacle from top to bottom was anointed. What was the special anointing oil? God marked the vessel and the vehicle that he would use. The anointing sets apart a person or thing for sacred service. It sets apart. God marks it. That's mine. You want to find me? That's where you'll find me. In the tabernacle. The tabernacle, the priest, they Paul pointed to the what? To the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Christ over and over and over and over again. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Believe, John 20, 30. 31, that Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ, the word Christ, is the word anointed. He's the anointed one. Everything points to him. Christ is the anointed one. The Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is to help you what? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't receive oil. You didn't receive oil to mark you as being set apart. You received Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God became the oil. A person took the place of the oil. And the person of the Spirit of God marks you. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you are anointed. You're an anointed one, set apart for sacred service, to serve the wonderful outworking of the will of God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now in God's outworking. So, having said that, over if I can, please, over to 2 Corinthians, just to remind you, to tie it together. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to do what he does in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, Second Corinthians, chapter 1, going directly if I can, so you see it. If I can, verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yes. In other words, we didn't have to say, God said this, but maybe he'll change his mind tomorrow. God may change his mind and doesn't mean what he says. No, God always means what he says. Always is yes. Therefore, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes. And in him, amen, so be it. Unto the glory of God, and by us, we're to be the custodians. We're set apart for sacred service. We're able to enjoy what? God's word. God's working. God's worth. All that God is doing. He's doing it using the Christ dwells in the heart, and God is outworking in his body the wonderful life. His own one. He continues. You thought you crucified him in this humanity, and the humanity seated at the right hand of God. But the witness is not over. God, because of the unbelief, and the only sign that he'll give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as you know. So the only sign he's going to give him. You said, where is he? And what's he going to do? He's going to go and make Christ as the head. He has a body. And Christ is going to go and enter that body. So, God, he rose again from the grave. We can't find him. And where are you going to find him? You're going to find the wonderful Son of God in the God-man, Christ Jesus, in your heart. Christ liveth in you. And the world needs to see what? Where is he? In the heart of the believer. And what are we going to, what do you mean? He's the life of the believer. He's the savior of the believer. And thus, all of the word of God, which is his, becomes the, he brings in himself, all of God's word into your heart. All the truth about Israel and each thing. And it's all yes and all amen. You know, I read it, it says it, the recipe is what it is, and we let it be the recipe, and God honors it. Now, verse 21. Now, he which establishes us with you, where are we established in Christ? In Christ, the anointed one, because the whole believers are anointed. Everyone that receives the Lord Jesus Christ is anointed, all in one person. Christ is the anointed, and he brings them all together in his body in the most wonderful, wonderful oneness and unity. That's why it says in 1 John 1:3, we have fellowship, a participation with the Father and the Son. We have a unique relationship. Therefore, I and verse 21, establishes that with you in Christ, and hath anointed us in Christ. Who did all this? God is God, the person who did it. God sent his Son. His Son and the Father sent the Spirit of God to do what? To set apart the believing heart by God's presence. You receive him as your Savior, Christ in you. And I am one in Christ. Christ is in God the Father. God the Father is in God in the Christ. And God the Father and God the Son are in the heart of the believer. That's who they are. Now, having said that, and thus, not only that, we're anointed. That, just hang on to that. You have a unique relationship. You have a relationship to your family and each thing you have. You live inside your body, and your body, your physical body, is a house. A house you live in. And you, your house enjoys you as resident if you stay with it and don't get down in the dumps. It enjoys, your body enjoys you as resident, as a resident. It's resident. He's resident in your house. Now, you're going to lose that. Hang on. And verse 21. Now, he which establishes you is us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God. Verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. So God, you sealed us. The Spirit, we know that from Ephesians 1. God seals us, marks us, sets us apart, separates us. And now he's the down payment. He himself is the down payment to make sure God gets what he died for. He can't lose one that he died for. He's the earnest. He's the down payment. He seals it. You're anointed. Wow. If you didn't go anywhere else, believers saved. They have the wonderful privileges of going from Genesis to Revelation in God's word and knowing all everything because God gave his word. And God that gave his word, you find as your Savior and Lord in your life. And he sets you apart. He seals you. He's the down payment. We're there. We're there. Now, having said that, then if you, now, hold you back over to John. Second John. And you will note. In God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So therefore, since all of that's true, in Christ, you're seated in my Savior, you have an anointing, you are sealed, you're God's down payment. So therefore, I'm going to read verse 20. But you already have, present tense, an unction, an anointing from the Father, and you are already knowing. What are you knowing? Well, we just read what you ought to know. We know all the promises of God. How come? From Genesis to Revelation. We know. We know. We're anointed. God set us apart. He set us apart in big time. He just sealed us and gave us his down payment. He has to, he's what he is. I am in my Father, my Father's in me, and I am in you. And you get that part. So the believers are there, looking at what's happening in the churches, and look at our day, and all the days you live in, and here we are. And we need to understand. How are we going to put it together? What's going on? You have to look to God. And God what? God has given us his word to understand, to know what to do and how to do it in a most wonderful way. God gives us his anointing by the Christ, the anointed one, God's holy work, God's holy working in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the light of that, so God's going to do what he does in setting us apart for sacred service. God's going to do a wonderful thing. That's what he's going to do. He's going to do a wonderful, wonderful work in the heart of the believing believer. A believer's a new creature in Christ. New, brand new, brand new. All things have passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. God sees you as a new creation. You have a unique relationship to God that you never had. And that relationship to God is to be exercised. And that relationship to God allows you to enjoy being a son of God, being a child of God, to be able to say, I know him. I know him. I know him as my Lord and Savior. Be able to say it, to know it in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God does the anointing. God does the setting apart. And God does it all. But, as you know in Philippians, oh, you turn there for that one just to see it again. All of these are basic, daily. These are things you live on. You live on these truths. They aren't just every now and then you read them. You live in them. What do you live on? We're to, you know it, verse 12 of Philippians. And in chapter 2, and in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, 2 Corinthians 2:12, if I can. Wherefore, my beloved, and by the way, I know I gave you the wrong verse last week when we were doing something on some service. Can't think which one it was. But we said Psalm 103, and it's really Psalm 102. But 103 in my Bible had it right next to the verse in Psalm 102. And remember, the subject was God. Everyone that's born on planet Earth, God created you. God created all people that are to be born. And the word created, remember, was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the same verb. God created us in the womb, bone, cell by cell, bone by bone. It's God's doing. Anyway, I knew you would remember that, and so I thought you should recall, you know. Someone said, you gave the wrong verse. You gave the wrong verse. Well, it's amazing I give anything, actually. So now, in Philippians, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we're doing. We're going to grow, and the odds are against us. The spirit of Antichrist, the unbelieving, all of it is there to change, to switch, to give all kinds of theological whatever that may or may not be right. And yet, and we're caught up in it, in this fad, or this, I believe that Jews are no more, we're the Jews now. Some people believe that. And they got all kinds of things. We've taken over the Jews. All kinds. All of it's there. And God has to help us. Well, I got to do something, God. I need to know. I don't know what to do. Which one is right? No. God said, you already are knowing. What are you knowing? You're knowing that I am in you and you are in me and I am in my Father. You already know that. You already know that all the promises of God are yes and amen. Don't you know that? Don't you know that I am the Word become flesh? You do know that, don't you? Then you understand. I'm the, all of John 5:39, all of search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Don't you know that? If you're going to read anything, you're always going to find me. That's the secret of communicating. You can't honor God's word without finding God. So when I'm speaking, you always need to find God. I'm going to help you find God in his word, by his word. Do you understand? Help you. So always what? Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 14:25. And they came to the church in Philippi. Oh boy, am I. Church in Philippi. And a church in Corinth. In there. And of a truth, the unsaved going to the church. And the carnal fleshly, are going to say what? Of a truth, God is in you. In you. That's what they left with. God is in them. That's what it's about. So we get God coming across, always God. We're conscious of God. That's the safety you have. That's the safety. You don't need just words. Words won't do it. The words help, don't get me wrong, but they won't do the job. No, the words have to help you what? Help you so that, Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're the one saved. You're the little baby growing up, and you have to keep growing and understanding, and you keep growing and knowing. And verse 13, the reason you can even get through into the process, the reason you can even do this is, for it is God which is working where? In you. What for? Both to do, to will, and to do of his good pleasure. That's what God's going to do. That's what God's going to do. So I want to work out. I want to work out what God has in mind. And when we have an unction, I don't know everything, but I do know. I know the difference. I know I'm saved. You guys could never get in with it. They could never. They left. John chapter 2 and 19. Oh, they couldn't stand. That relationship, the fellowship, the partnership, you really, really, really have to God to be able to say, my Father. To be able to say that, my Father. And God, my Father, I'm in your presence. You're in my presence. So God, thank you. And I'm able to look to God. And I have to look to God, and so do you. All believers have to look to God. And God, you're going to do what you do. Do what you do, God, in your kindness. My mind's all over. But God, I thank you for the cross. Thank you, I'm to reckon it dead. I'm not to be trusting it and looking to it. I'm looking to you and your word to all work, your wonderful plan for our lives. That's what I'm looking for. We have an unction from God, and we know. How could we possibly know? Because of you, God. Back over to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, letting it come together a little bit in the process, picking up, please, in chapter 14, if I can, directly in the light of the context, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another of the same kind, comforter, encourager, someone to come along and aid to help us. I'll give you another comforter, that he may abide, find his home, his dwelling with you forever. Forever. So the relationship is going to be forever. And 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. And he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And the Spirit of God is what? The Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of God what? Is sent by the Father, is sent by the Son, so that we have the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, is to help us what? To know. Why do we know? You all know. Why do we know? Why do all you believers know? Because the same God who saves us says we're saved. And he didn't make any distinctions. He said, the believing heart is saved. So God, you did that. So we know. We know all things. We know all. We do. We know whether you're saved or not. We know we're saved. We know it. And same thing. We know all things. We know all things. How can we possibly know everything? Because Christ in me, Christ in you, God, the Spirit of God, knows it all. He knows it all. The little baby again has to grow and learn and grow up. The believing heart that gets saved, this starts off and you have to grow. But if you sit 10 years and never grow, then you're wondering what's wrong. 20 years and you don't grow. Well, you're supposed to be growing. And if you're still on milk at 30 years old, it's time to try a McDonald's. It's time. Time to grow up. You got it. God has to help us. So we have to do it. And there's no problem to it. I can give you dear people you knew and the dear, dear, dear people saying, I hear them say it. Say it. Boy, do I wish I knew all this when I was younger. And they were old. This is an old person saying, boy, I'm just starting, but boy, I'm starting. It would have been nice if I knew this 30 years ago, but hey, at least I got it. Think of it from us humans. I wish I grew, but you know what? You don't. You don't learn everything. You sort of goofy, to stumble your way through. That's what you do. So, I'm ready to die, I think. Ready to die? But I need to live because I've learned some things that I could practice. I need to live longer so I could practice some stuff that's finally getting into my head. But I'm trying to tell you, I wish I could have another few hours to tell you. Do you understand? I wish I could tell you. I have to learn. Why do I have to learn? I stumble through it. I don't want to sit 20 more years. 10 more years stumbling along. I want to grow. You have an unction from the Holy One. The Spirit of God is giving you what? He knows everything. He's the Spirit of truth. You lack nothing. You say, I don't know the problems. He knows the problems. He knows the problems. He can fix the problems. I can't fix the problems, and you can't fix the problems. You can't change yourself. God has to change us. God has to do the job. So God, thank you. Thank you very much, because I can't do it. It'll never happen if you're waiting on me. I'll be 1,000 years old. No, God, you have to do it in a most wonderful way. Now, so God, doing what you do, as only you can do it, God. So knowers are to be knowing the one who knows. And the believers are to be what? Outworking the wonderful will of God in God's wonderful way. And therefore, they are children of God. And they know they are children. You don't have to turn there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Now are you children of God. Now, God already said, when you received the Lord as your Savior, you became a child of God. And what are you saying, John? You already know. You already are a child of God. So I don't want to talk about whether you should sit at the table and eat, whether you should grow and know. No, you are a child of God. Therefore, be looking for what? 1 John 3. To what? Change you. You're going to be like him. If you have this hope in you, it'll carry you right through. You got to grow. And you got to know. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to happen. And God has to help us in every way so that what we can enjoy being, we're going to be, first Revelation 1:6, you're going to be priests and kings. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be with me, said God. You sit where I sit. You're going to enjoy the king. You're going to enjoy being kingly. You're going to enjoy being a priest. You represent, I am the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And when I'm going to go, and I'm going to do wonderful, wonderful things. So Are you getting the idea? I'm just sort of wondering. You're getting a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. And I'll read another, just to show you we're making speed. Over to 1 John. Over to 1 John. Picking up, if I may. Annual note. Verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. I didn't write unto you because you were stupid. I wrote unto you because you know it. Verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not, N-O-T, the truth, but, contrast, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. There is no way that a lie can make the truth untrue. You know the truth. You know it. I've written unto you because you're supposed to be knowing. Or better to say it another way, if you're really saved, you are knowing, then be knowing. And in closing, Ephesians 3, thank you for your patience. Ephesians chapter 3. And you'll note, God, you make something wonderfully possible. You do. You do. Chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, 20. A wonderful section, but just picking up the thought. Verse 20. Now unto him, the anointed one that anoints you, that sets you apart for sacred service, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Try it again. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or ever think, according to the power that worketh in us, the anointing that God made possible when you received Christ. The Spirit of God said, you're anointed. You have a wonderful relationship to God. Exercise it. Just exercise it. The 21 chapters are written to John to believe. What are we to believe? What we're reading. Believe it. Believe it. Don't believe it? No. Nothing. Right? God. Our Father and God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you for your love, your patience, and your help. God, we just, here we are. And God, it's way beyond and greater than anything that we could ask or think. God, it's a wonderful thing you're doing. Help us to be found enjoying and exercising, growing up, and becoming all that you'd have us to be. Thank you for your patience and love again and again. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convince them that they might believe. And our God, in believing, may we be found being faithful. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. So God, help us in every way. Give safety, encouragement, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.